nature of that experience, which is empty of dualistic appearance, that is what is essential to this connection of sensory perception. Another kind of connection is the connection between sounds and the ear consciousness. For example, the sound of a finger snap, and then the ear consciousness perceiving it on the inside. If one understands well that both of these are empty of any dualistic aspect, this will be what is meaningful or what is essential to that particular connection. So one has all of the various appearances and perceptions of them, which are in a state of continual flux or change, then the very nature of that is completely without any change. So if one remembers that changeless nature right at the very heart of all of the changing appearances, that will be what is essential to that connection. So then there are all of the changes which go with our thoughts. The changes are actually due to changes in our thoughts. And then we react to the changes that we conceive ourselves as experiencing. And due to those reactions, we experience either a pleasant state or an unpleasant state, happiness or suffering, as the reactions to changing thoughts. Then if one takes these feeling experiences of happiness and suffering as being something truly existent, that is a sign that one is an ordinary being. Then if one is able to realize the equality of all of those seeming opposite states of feeling, then by taking the feeling to be truly existent as a sign of being an ordinary being, so that is what is called making the connection of being an ordinary being, that is ordinary being connection. Then if one realizes the equal nature of all of those changing states of feeling, then one is able to realize what is essential to that ordinary being connection. So all of the changing appearances are interdependent, and the roots of those changing appearances is thought. And the very nature of all of those changes is the essential connection. If one understands it in this way, then connections are meaningful. So having now heard a brief explanation of what is involved in this subject of connections and what it is about them that makes them meaningful, of what is completely essential to that process of connections, we should now again sing the song of meaningful connections by the Lord of Yogis
Milarepa.
So here one should not be preoccupied with merely singing a beautiful song, being sort of wrapped up in the process of the beauty of the song. But one should be reflecting over the connections that are described and what it is about those particular connections which is meaningful or essential. And one should then, from that perspective, one should ask oneself the question, how can I bring these this meaningful sense of the connections into my own experience? How can I put this into practice? In the Buddhist tradition, there is a very significant connection between that which is misleading and that which is not misleading. That which is misleading constitutes the whole aspect of our experience called the relative level of experience or apparent reality. And that is intimately connected up with genuine reality as its nature. This is a song describing those two.
Yang tsema dan deva yore karre sana yum tsi te tsema si je te loba mebe hipa la tsema yagre loba tsi je sena tsema mwimba yagre di sena tsema dan yang deva chenpu yore.
There is also a significant connection to the whole study of valid cognition, because what is misleading is that which is described as invalid cognition, and that which is not misleading constitutes valid cognition.
Deyang yor dang yuti nile yor jit lobatam lobate tenzi nubatam tenzi nubam lobare tenzi
So, if we consider the double aspect of there being objects and an observer, then with respect to the objects themselves, there is a misleading aspect or a deceptive aspect and an aspect which is not misleading. The aspect which is referred to as deceptive or misleading is that in which one could say there is an object which is not fulfilling a purpose or is not fulfilling a function. That would be an example of a deceptive object, and one in which one which you can describe as being one fulfilling a purpose or serving a function can be described as a non-deceptive object, one which is not misleading. Then as far as the mind as the observer, there are also these two aspects, and here it is whether they are misleading or not is defined with respect to whether there is delusion in the mind or not. So a deluded perception of things would be described as misleading, and a perception free of delusion is described as not misleading.
Yenda gokar tan na loba tsikere. Gokar tsa ni matang trambo zo na loba tsikere.
One can also understand this distinction with respect to the individual. An individual who is attempting to mislead others or deceive others can be described as being deceptive. And one who is completely honest with others and is not trying to give some impression which is not correct is an individual who is not deceitful.
De kap je lula dhava chonyi de mata pa yinpe jyumsi je thato nyingbo me ba yite me ba nyingbo me ba kubo mata pa yinpe se na thato nyingbo me ba.
So this particular set of 12 misleading things should be understood from the point of view of impermanence, since there are 12 things which in their misleading aspect are impermanent. One should understand their ultimate sense. So each of these 12 things, which are here described as being misleading, one should reflect over in what sense are they misleading? What is misleading about
them?
So, as practitioners of the Dharma, it is important for us to know what is misleading and what is not, and to and the confidence that we generate in the Dharma should be the confidence in that which is not misleading. We should not take what is misleading to be something true, something valid for our lives.
So first, Rinpoche will give a reading transmission of the root text. From among the vast range of Dharma teachings, what is it that we will be looking at today? And it is the prayer to Maitreya, which is found in the Ratnakuta Sutra.
tōng sāpā tāng, hā jāng jā chē bā rē, jūm sīng kāng yīn yām nō, tēne tēk bā chēng bō sāng chū chū tē sēm jī bā, yīn lā tēng jī bō nī tsō sō bā, sā bā, chū jī dā mē bā, kāng zā kā dā mē bā, pā rū tē sēm bā chōg lā lā tsō rū, dē bō, kō sōm nā mē bā sēm nō, tēne tēk bā chēng bō lā jī rā bā, yōng sū tsō bā ndē lā dē bā yō.
This prayer then is in few words, but it has a very profound meaning, and through that it is vast. And how is it vast? Well, it begins with the explaining the generation of bodhicitta, and then one engenders bodhicitta, then there is the seven explanations of the way of gathering merit for the seven branches. And then there's an explanation of the no self in the person and the no self in phenomena. And then there is the practice of the six paramitas, how one brings that to perfection. And finally, there is the result, which is the three kayas. So in this way, the whole path is contained within this prayer.
Tikpa chenpi lan la hyoba la Tikin kunzob semche ite ranga juye le che gore Tikin kunzob semche ite ranga juye le yang takpar che na Rani kaza kawangda se na rani tikin pare Rani tikin pa yinpa se na Tene kunzob sancho sem ranga juye le yo na Nyamli ite tikin je lan je nyamli yinpa se na Tene kunzob semche ite kar chenpo re Te semche ite taka sanche ke ma re Tene semche machi pachi par sepa, chi pa mparvar sepa la, yinla dwenji go ni cho saksar ten pare. Tene yinla dwenji go ni cho saksar ten yang hajang jachimri.
Mahayana, the practice in the Mahayana or entering into the Mahayana path, then one does that through generating bodhicitta, engendering the thought of awakening or enlightenment within one's own mind, and one does it in a relative and in an ultimate way. So here, what is spoken about is the relative bodhicitta, how one brings that about within one's own mind. And when that has arisen within one's own mind, then that shows that one has actually entered into the Mahayana path. And this is possible because one has that kind of potential within one's self. So once it has arisen then, once it is arisen within one's mind stream, then one practices so that what is arisen will not deteriorate, but that it will continue to grow. And the way, one of the ways one, excuse me, develops this relative bodhicitta is through the seven branch prayer through which one can accumulate merit.
Tene yela tikpa chenpe yela denje nyamni chi khona dorje tepe tumo senang ma do yang de la sangre yela denje khongsun du yu.
This seven branch prayer then that one finds in the Mahayana is also contained within the Vajrayana. It's there as part of the outer and inner preliminary practices. So it's a shared practice between the Mahayana and the Vajrayana.
And the Dorje Tepe Ngandu Duna, Dorje Sempa Kavandu, Lama Kavandu Sena, Sanjeta Sanju Sempa Dwenje Namka Gon Koyere, Sanjeta Sanju Sempa Kona Mandipe, Dorje Sempa Tan Lama Yomara. Dorje tekpe ngendo yin duna dorje sempa nyamni da lama namjur kandisi dugri samno hakusunga dorje sempa de kapsu sanje da sanju sempa gom gondo sanje da sanju sempa namje nana dorje sempa yang dugri lama yang dugri lama sanje ina sanje ji gom dugri sanju sempa ina sanju sempa gom dugri tisena ngendo nyamni
So if one would ask then how it is that the preliminary practices are included within the seven branch prayer or the practice that the seven branch prayer is, then within the preliminary practices one has both the practice of Vajrasattva, the purification practice, and the Guru Yoga. So when one does the visualization, one visualizes Vajrasattva surrounded by the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. So within the seven branch prayers, one has the Buddhas and the Bodhisattvas. And Vajrasattva is actually nothing other than these Buddhas. And then one also has the Bodhisattvas within the visualization. So in this way, it's the two resemble each other. And when one is for the Guru Yoga, then when one is doing Guru Yoga practice, one is imagining that one's teacher is none other than the Buddha. So in that way, the two are also in harmony with each other, the two
practices.
Within the Vajrayana also one needs to do the practice of the no-self in relation to a person and no-self in relation to phenomena, or the selflessness of a person and of the phenomena. And one finds that also within this prayer. There is one verse on the lack of an entity in the person and another on the lack of an entity in phenomena. So within the Mahayana then, one needs to practice the six paramitas, the six perfections, and one does it in order to be able to benefit other sentient beings.
Tene la parut simba toke ta parut simba tole ya tekpa chenpi chue tamche dosar che parut simba toke kongsu ndugu yu tekpa chenpi chue tamche parut simba toke kongsu.
So there is one way of explaining things. It says that the whole dharma of the Mahayana path, the whole teaching that is the Mahayana path, can be found within the six paramitas. It is kind of summarized within the six paramitas.
Tene pena tonye jerba hechor mandava mambu heba deyang dona hirabje paradise benyamir.
For example, there are many different stages of explanation to emptiness, but if one would summarize that all, it can be included within the paramita of higher knowledge or prajna. Also within the Mahayana one needs to practice compassion. That's the essence of wishing to benefit other sentient beings. And one does this, engages in compassion through the practice of the six paramitas. One doesn't just sit there and say, oh, I must do this and push oneself, but it's done through the means of the six paramitas, the six perfections.
Tene tetra nyasa lama dreva da karasana kosom re, kosom te sanje kunje ngakpa, tene chuko, wuta, oizaram barwa longko, zikim barwa trukote, tene kosom ngon to sepa malam jabe, chuko longko.
And at the end of the prayer, one makes the aspiration that one, for one will arise the three kayas, three dimensions of a Buddhist realization. And that is the kaya that was praised by all the Buddhas, the kaya that is blazing with light, and the kaya that is blazing with majesty. So it's the one that's praised by the Buddhists, the luminous or the radiant kaya, and the one that is blazing with majesty. So if one wishes to study in depth more these six paramitas, then you can look at the Dapo Targin, the Jeweled Ornament of Liberation by Gampopa, and there is a chapter each on the six paramitas. And for all of the above reasons then, this prayer contains within it the whole of the Mahayana. So there's also a purpose, a reason for saying this prayer. Right now we're able to practice Mahayana Dharma, but in the future, whether we will or will not practice it depends on aspiration prayers. So it's very important then to say aspiration prayers, otherwise it's not sure that one will meet with this Dharma again. And all of the four different Buddhist traditions within Tibet, the Sakyas, the Kagyu, the Nyingma, and the Geluk, they all memorize this and chant it. So it's a very important prayer. So it's good to know why this prayer is so important, because then you want to do it, you'll be happy doing it, and being happy and delighted to do it, then you will chant it and things will go well that way. And here in this book you have it translated, the prayer itself into English and also a commentary on it. So it's good to read it again and again. And as you do, as you read the commentary and then go back and chant the root verse and so forth, in that way, over time, the verse itself, the verses themselves will become increasingly clear. So, first we will look at verse number 13, which is on page 15 of the English translation. Future phenomena are not born, and those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty.
First
line says, future phenomena are not born. So what does it mean, this not being born, not arising? Well, not being born, if you look at it through the four possibilities, one sees that it arisal is not possible because things do not arise from themselves. They do not arise from something other. They don't arise from a combination. And that is like a dream, like an illusion. It's like the reflection of the moon in the water, all mere appearance. However, ultimately, there is no birth, there is no arisal. To put it in the form of a reasoning then, given a future thing, it ultimately or really truly does not arise. Why? Because it doesn't arise from itself, from something other to itself, from a combination of from itself and from an other, nor does it arise without a cause. So for all those reasons, one says that a future thing does not arise or is not born. So you might say, well, that's not true. There's future anger, and anger will arise. And the reply is, no, that's the anger, future anger does not arise because future anger does not arise from itself. It doesn't arise from something other than itself. It doesn't arise from some mix of self and other. And it doesn't arise not having any cause whatsoever. So in this way, one says, ultimately, these future things do not arise. However, there is the appearance, the mere appearance of anger on the level of apparent reality. And this is dreamlike anger. In this way, one can speak of jealousy, of desire, of all the various afflictions as not actually arising from an ultimate point of view. So in the same way, one can apply this reasoning to suffering. One can say that future suffering does not exist. Why? Because it doesn't actually or ultimately arise. And why is that? Because it doesn't arise from itself. It doesn't arise from something that is other to itself. It doesn't arise from blending together the first two. And it doesn't arise without any cause whatsoever. So ultimately, suffering does not arise. And the mere appearance of suffering is the only thing that one has on the level of apparent reality. And this again is like suffering within a dream. So our biggest concept, our biggest, let's say our biggest delusion is that we have the concept that takes as truly existent, as actually there, something that ultimately does not exist. So that kind of clinging on to the true existence of something, to the reality, to reifying objects and so forth, that is our biggest delusion.
Jeva meba te sanje jindole ja chenpo sumbare, gombo lodrup jitzaba hirab sole rikwe dobare, oman jokwa to junjok sole tini, jeva meba rikpa mangbu sheba. Rikpa namrang mangbu gondos.
So this, this delusion that we take things that don't actually arise to be truly existent, one finds this then analyzed by many of the great scholars. For example, Nagarjuna in the Fundamentals of the Middle Way, the Madhyamaka, Mula Madhyamaka Karakas, one finds it in the Madhyamaka Avatara of Chandrakirti, one finds it in Shanti Deva's Bodhicharya Avatara, the guide to the Bodhisattva's way, and so on and so forth.
Tanya, Majonga, Marme Kijin, Nama Tan, Samatin, Rabu Yoga Latina, O Shopa Marme de Tanda Yan, Dok Samu Yamato, Major Kijin, Namangata, with the Sea Lion Jayo. This is not the Epongobo Tanja Lanjung Yamu. The Epongobo Hicksawa de Lanjungo Marijima.
The next half of this first line, those past will not occur. So this refers to things that have happened and gone into the past. So these are phenomena that have completely ceased and will not arise again. For example, the sound of the finger snap arises and ceases, and it will not come again. It's gone, it's past, it's finished. However, what happens is that when we have series of instances like this that are more subtle, we cling to them. Our conceptualizing mind clings to them and makes them into one continuum. For example, if we light a lamp in the morning, a butter lamp, for example, and we light it in the morning, and we come back in the evening and it's still burning, we think that's the same lamp. But actually, it's not. It's simply that the previous moment resembles what comes after it. Or one could say that the moment that arises after one moment has ceased resembles the previous moment. And so when one's conceptualizing mind grasps onto that resemblance as a continuum and makes a whole out of these many, many different parts. However, this one instance has totally ceased, and later it does not rise up again. And so these past phenomena have collapsed and disintegrated. They are no longer with us and will not arise again.
Deepa ngopo chichi, lan yunga mite nga simbasir, penna tata sevar jidrayi. Tata sevar jidrayi nga thar la yunga mara. Yana nipate marabe, nipate kakare. Sevar tangpo ta nipate kapsa, sevar tangpo ta nipa kapsa la, sol loba mara. So. Kodum, tenma.
So to put that in the form of a reasoning, given past phenomena, they will not arise again, or given past things, actually, what you said, they will not arise again. Why? Because they have completely ceased. And because they've completely ceased, they will not come again. And you might think, well, what about this second, there's a second instant, isn't it, that there's a second moment that comes. But that's another moment. That's a second moment. It's not the first moment. The first moment itself is stopped and gone. And the second moment is something completely different or separate from it. They are individual, separate individual things. For example, to look at how one takes all of these separate instances and deludedly makes them into a continuum. If you went to the side of a river and kicked off your shoes and were a little bit careless about it and the river took them away and you lost your shoes. Sadly, you walked away. Next year, you came back to the same river and you said to that river, "You're the one that took away my shoes." But actually, your shoes are already in the ocean. And this river that's going by you is a new river. It's not the same river that was there last year. It's not the same river that carried off your running shoes. It's a new river. And but you, in your mind, have, just the way you take individual instances, have conflated together the river from the last year that has been continually flowing all the time to the river that you see this year and made them into one thing, made a whole out of separate parts. So one should examine then well how one's own mind takes these separate instances and weaves them together into a continuum. One should look at how that process happens. So this river, it's one moment of this river when one's shoes were taken away, and that moment is past. It's gone. It's finished. And the next moment is arriving, and that next moment might be the one that carries away your hat. So, and that will then come and be gone as well. So, So the shoes that were carried away last year and the hat that's getting carried away this year, the river's not going to bring them back in the future.
America president tanda bot thona lamsa khu namda de kande sun de pugu chung chung ti ne go zo lo pugu chung chung de tang bo abc de hi ge ma re president zo to mo ina khu lo ji de pugu ne go zo de ge ten ra wo de jun na se jun che pa la chi de tru jun le chi de tru jun le chi de kande zo tru ge de sa.
So this same sort of thing happens when we are writing biographies or personal histories. And for example, someone like President Clinton gets elected and then people look into his past and they find pictures and they write a whole story about his past and what he was as a child and so forth. But of course his child is not the same as the president that just got elected. They're different. The child didn't even know ABC. But what's happened is that one has woven together a past and a future moment into one, or a past and a present. What went before and what went after, one has made into one whole continuum.
Lah cho nyong yong.
In brief, then, the objects of one's sense faculty, this sounds, form, sound, smells, taste, touch, and mental phenomena, the sense faculties themselves, and one's conceptualizing mind, all of that has completely ceased. It's gone, it's finished, and it will not come back. They will not come back again. And when one is experiencing suffering, some kind of mental suffering, suffering within one's mind, it's not past suffering. That past suffering has gone, has stopped. It's a new suffering that's come. It's not that the old suffering has returned in some way, but it's a new suffering that's being created. But one tends then to link it together with past situations of suffering. So past phenomena have stopped, the future ones are not yet here, and the present moment does not arise from some kind of inherent character or from some kind of inherent essence. All the various phenomena that are appearing right now have no essence, no inherent character. Given the phenomena that are appearing right now, they have no inherent character. And why is that? That is because they transcend being one thing or they transcend being a multiplicity. Why can one say this, that these present things that are appearing to us do not have the nature of being one or being many? Well, if one analyzes a present phenomena to find out if it is one solid, concrete entity, one can't find that. One analyzes and analyzes and you don't find that. So one comes to the conclusion that it's not one thing. And then it naturally follows that it can't be many. A many is made up of many different kinds of ones. And if it can't be one, then it can't be many either. Or one could look at it in terms of dependence and saying that one thing is dependent on, the concept of one thing is dependent on the concept of many things. So because the two are dependent upon one another, neither one is existent either. So using these kinds of reasonings, one can say that present appearances transcend being having an inherent nature of being one or being many things.
Tene tatar jemo po la rangi me ba mare pe na kondo la rangi indo dra la kondo sa o ma ka zo kondo ga sentro kondo ga go na kondo ga nyin cha o ma do this kondo la rangi indo sam na te ya malam da gore kondo kondo ka che kondo sa ga do se gor chi ge tu zo ni ge tu zo ka de do ta na tene se kem che da go la kondo ga so ga ti do go ma re se kem tu zo ka he go go do
So you might say, well, that's not true, that this present thing has no true or inherent nature I can feel anger. There's an enemy. There's an enemy, and this anger here is real. My head hurts. My heart's beating fast. There's something real happening here. And so, how can you tell me that this anger doesn't exist? And, however, if you analyze the situation, you can see that for anger really to arise, for it to be there and you to be aware of it and so forth, that just can't happen in 1 second. And as we've seen, all phenomena arise and cease second moment by moment. For anger really to be there, it has to be sustained over a period of time. But as we've seen, the first moment ceases, and the second moment is not related to it. You know, it's different. So, in analyzing like this, one comes to see that anger can't be one thing. It's made up of all these different moments, but actually, the anger as a whole, as such, doesn't exist. And if you analyze in that way, then you come to see that this anger is neither one thing, because it, because of analyzing the individual instance, and because it's not one thing, then of course it can't be a multiplicity of many things either.
ちくたとめらんぎんでば。だわてらぽんぽんがいよれ。ぽんぽんがいなんね。ぽんぽんがいべせなちくよまれ。ぽんぽんがいべせなちくよまれ。ぽんぽんがぽてやれれね。ちえなやんちくよまれ。ちくよまれ。ちくめべせな。でね、とまいよまれ。だぶぽんぽ。だわてちくたとめらんぎんでべせな。だわやんらんぎんじまる。だわちくよ。
And then you might counter and say, well, maybe this anger doesn't exist, but that enemy out there is real. I can see somebody out there. That's a real enemy. And so to work with that kind, so you've worked, you know, one with the subject yourself, now you work with the object, and this, you can also apply this reasoning of being beyond one and many. For example, the enemy that you think is there is made up of the five skandhas. So it's made up of these five aggregates, or physical and mental aggregates. So those are five things. It's not one thing. It's not one enemy there. But this enemy is made up of five different parts, so it's not one whole. Then if you analyze these skandhas, they too, each individual aggregate or skandha, is made up again of many, many different kinds of parts and so forth. So if you keep continually analyze like this, you come to see that there's not one existent thing there. And since there's not one thing, then again there's not many, and so one can say that this enemy that one thinks exists out there does not, because it does not exist as one thing and does not exist as many. So you might think, well, okay, maybe one enemy isn't there, but there's this whole group of people out there, and they're getting together and signing letters and making petitions and so forth. There's this whole group of them. And you work with that by looking at each individual within that group, and you see that each individual within that group is made up of the five aggregates, and so on and so on. So you analyze each individual of the group and find that each one is not truly existing.
And the tomato yore consocrated here, saik zon murder is saik yurisana, saik ya madubre. You get this. Nama nama kapsa sama sama yore yomare, you get this or talk about it, everybody. Then, dear Chahi Lejena, yomare, Dratan young to check the yomare. This is not saying young, my brother. Say young.
And then you might say, well, that group of enemies might not be real, but then there's this letter with their signature on it, and that's real. And so, and so then if you look at the letters to which make up the signature, there are letters that come before and then letters that come afterwards. So there, it's since there's a previous and a subsequent, it's also not one thing. There's something that went before and something went after. So it's not one whole thing. It's not a collection. And also, even when that word that's been signed is being said, to say it, it takes many instants of time. So even the way of saying what's been signed is not truly existent. It has to go over many instants of time. So that further shows that this signature is also not, or this many, these many signatures are not truly existent either.
Naja kila pakaso tanda naja chembo siti naja kibakaso chembo dryo mare chembo lao bakaso naja jitanga sare tutsu chileo mare dryo minya yo mare minya rangi de mare yige yo rangi de mare yige to server. Naja Chembo, Tado Chembo Selegiona, Na, Hippocaso, Yard and Chimonium. Yard, Yippocaso, Dalapocaso, Nadan Chembo, then Gasas. Mintes of Chakitas of Mopo, the Mimin Gadway. This and a mean, Madubri.
So, you might say, well, that enemy is full of incredible pride, and if you analyze that statement, you can also see that the word pride itself, or saying he is full of pride, that phrase, it doesn't truly exist. And why is that? Because you can analyze that statement into various parts. And when one part is being expressed, the other part is not being there. It's not there. So when you say, for example, he, then is full of pride is not there. And then when you say is, the he and the full of pride is not there, and so forth. So when you speaking each individual part of that statement, the other parts are not there. And those parts then are related as a thing, which would be what's actually being said, and a non-thing, which is what's not there, either past or future. And so in things and non-things then have no relationship. You can't establish a relationship between a non-thing and a thing. And so analyzing in this way as well, you come to see that the statement, he is full of pride, doesn't truly exist. And even you can go more in detail and see that each individual word of that statement also doesn't truly exist.
This is a dry dagi madhubha maze, dhavu kipe menya madhubha.
So, in this way, when one can see that first one saw that what one considers as an external enemy doesn't truly exist, so what one thinks to be an external enemy would be the basis for imputation of the name enemy. So we saw that that doesn't truly exist. And now we see also that the name that one would impute to that non-existent basis of imputation, that also doesn't exist as well.
Then the Malarepe let and let in Namimi, they said, Corva mean Corva Dagi meba maze mea madruba sombare, Malarepe. Malarepe sombatan tembarhibe.
Let and leji namin
me, they said, Corva mean. Adesu
Corva
mean. Corva mean tandem.
And Nila Rapa said, karma and the ripening of karma do not exist. And for that reason, there is not even the name karma that exists, the name samsara that exists.
Letan leje nami yabate malana yin trupa kapsure. Nelo la letan leje nami madrupasena, korva madrupare, korva mingtaya madrupare.
When one says karma and the ripening, the full ripening of karma, that is a deluded statement that applies to apparent reality. For the abiding reality of the mind, the ultimate reality of the mind, neither one exists. So, in brief, the five skandhas, the 18 dhatus, the 12 ayatanas, whatever thing you might choose to name, that then has no essence, it has no inherent character. From an ultimate point of view, and from the point of view of apparent reality, it's just mere appearance.
Tene tatar je ngatsu ngopo te denpa re sambe namdo te ngarantsu turpa chi khure norwa chi khu turpa chi khu tela marek pa sigre ngatsu marek pa.
So thinking that the things that we perceive right now are truly existent, that kind of conceptualization is our biggest delusion. And this big delusion is called ignorance.
Te maje pa majomba ngi meba som hita.
So that has been an explanation then of 1.5 lines. Future phenomena are not born. Those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature.
Ka ye pa ne manje se ne manje pa te sagong de re. Nato kang negado, sagong tiding negado. Nato tanda kangbana negado, kangba yang sagong tindo, sagong dili. Sagong, sagong la sopa, nyema, dawa, karma, dangado neze, sagong de yang, yang tapa, madrubare, kikta tumeran yin debesen and madrubare, kunzo dangado sagong de na deva de, mulam de jibber.
The last half of the second line says there is no actual location. So our location now is this planet. This shrine hall that we're in is resting upon the planet. And yet, if one analyzes not only our planet, but the sun, the moon, the stars, and so forth, one can use the same reasoning that they are not one thing, not one entity, nor a multiplicity of things, and come to see that they're not truly existent. On the level of apparent reality, there is a planet on which we walk and stand and so forth, but it is a dreamlike planet. So we think that this earth is one round whole thing. But actually, if you analyze it, you find that it's made up of an inconceivable number of parts. All these particles, and if you analyze down to the smallest kinds of particles and split atoms and so forth, you finally come to see that even those are not truly existent. And because one is not truly existent, then an agglomeration of all these non-existent ones is also not truly existent. So this earth that we are resting upon is a dream-like earth that is not ultimately existent.
So
So we have a place and we think, well, this is, you know, this is the place where I stay and so forth, but most of us are running around a lot of the time. We don't just stay in one place all the time. And all this running around is usually is another way of understanding that there is no real location. Maybe that's why we run around so much. And you might think, well, I have a house. You know, I do have a place. I have some kind of location where I can be. But if you analyze that house, you see that the house is made up of many different parts, doors and windows and floors and ceilings and so forth. And that if you analyze those parts down to their very, very smallest units, you'll find that they do not ultimately exist. And so again, since one isn't there, neither is there many. And one comes to the inescapable conclusion that one's house, one's place does not truly exist.
Maso tengel den ma to wol de to mu to ma sa do do wol wo ke sim jin tu na nga so te kon so tengel re nga so wol ye re te ma sa do re ten da wol sa ma korang ne korang la teng da wo ya me ba ne korang la teng da wo mi na te ne ne teng da wo me ba te ne korang la ngo me ba ta teng da wo me ba xia lu nu zang ge che ba me ba le nyam ni da wo
So there's another way of looking at this. Those of us that are, in the northern hemisphere of the planet, think that we're on top of the planet, and that there are people down below us, down there on the underside of the planet. Falling off the planet if you went around on that other side. And the people that are down there in the southern hemisphere are looking, feel that they are on the top of the planet and that we are the underneath and that we are probably falling off the planet. So again, these two then are established in dependence upon another. And it shows that actually the top and the bottom, above and below and so forth, all of these parts don't truly exist. And through looking at and analyzing this way, one also comes to see that the planet does not actually exist ultimately.
Tangpo sakong de la chi kien, wo mi te sakong de la ne pe sim chi kanga rana so so ten le yubis. Kanga ten le yubis na wo yam. Wo me pe se na yang ten le yam.
So given this planet, there is no underneath to it. Why? Because everybody thinks they're on top. and since there's no bottom, of course, there can't be any top either, so there's no top as well. And so since there's no bottom, and there's no top, and so actually there's no individual place upon this planet. However, you don't have to worry, because there is a mere appearance of things, and this mere appearance is appearance and emptiness inseparable. And when one comes to understand, to realize this, then what comes is a very spacious, a very open, a very relaxed
feeling.
The third line begins, there is no perception or no cognition. And this refers then to the different, to mind. And mind can be then divided up into different kinds of consciousness, to the six different kinds of consciousness, or the eight different kinds of consciousness. So, because, again, it can be divided up into these various parts, these various aspects, then you can analyze down into the individual sections and see that they truly don't exist, and because one doesn't exist, many don't.
Sem chue ki, yang tapa madu te, yeb dan kado mebe, wang hi je tong mato pa kaan hi, lu je setan nang do yang, setan nang da, pala yang mami ki. Lu je setan nang da, pala so kang do yang, shirap je je na mami ki. Dise na, nang re madu.
One can put a reasoning, and put this into a reasoning. Given the mind, it ultimately doesn't exist because Rinpoche Yibdan Kado Ma
Yibdan Kado So Mebe One Hiji Yor Mare.
So, because, two reasons. One, because if form and color do not come together, if they're not connected together, then the then the consciousnesses are not able to perceive things. So that's one thing. So that it's this perception that is dependent upon the coming together of parts again. And two, if one uses one's prajna, one's higher intelligence to analyze, to try and find this mind, one will not be able to find it within the body, outside the body, or somewhere in between the two.
Matila Chirana Namkiam Sem Yove Setina Sem Yose Kava Duksena Nana Tabu Kavsa Naya Kaya Nyiriya Te Namki Ngomenta.
So if you ask someone, do you have consciousness? And the person would say, well, of course, yes, of course, I have consciousness. And then you ask them, well, where is it? And then, you know, they will look and they will look, and actually they won't be able to find where this consciousness is. And that then is a sign that consciousness has no real essence. So that takes care of establishing that, that mind doesn't truly exist here in terms of perception. And then the rest of the line says there are no outer things. So these outer things are the objects of sense perception, form, sound, smell, taste, tangible objects. And those then, if one analyzes, also do not truly exist.
Tene zukta taro na rigza nam madram na yam nam sande yapate milam tenta kare. Milam hi.
Although these five objects don't exist, they do arise as mere appearances, as appearances in a dream.
This is not that you tam je tung banye re. Tung banye de kare. Kunda tang yingwen nike tung be yon ro pyu je yingwen sum to tokor shu je sum bo. Te yin tong de tuba deva ka su yin tong de tuba sum. Kunda yingwen nike tung be pyu yin tung banye ngwen sum to tokor shu.
So that, through that way, one comes to see that all phenomena are empty. And at the end of the commentary, there is a prayer, an aspiration prayer, that says, may I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is the perfect nature, empty of the imagined and the dependent natures. So this is a kind of statement that's very much in harmony with the Shantong view. So this commentary by Mendong Tsamba is very much in tune with the Shantong view.
Maji badam manjong dam rangye manji ne ma namre maji ngwe manji tongbe jene do baishu Maji badam manjong rangye manji ne ma namre maji ngwe manji tongbe jene do baishu Maji badam manjong dam rangye manji ne ma namre maji ngwe manji tongbe jene do
three times.
Future phenomena are not born in the past, will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty. Future phenomena are not born in those past, will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty. Future phenomena are not born in those past, will not.
Future phenomena are not born, and those past will not occur. Present phenomena have no inherent nature. There is no actual location. There is no perception. There are no outer things. May I realize the Dharma Dhatu, which is empty.